Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Random Chatter. This is episode number 102. And in tonight's episode, we are going to be doing our spring movie preview for 2016. We have a lot of films to get to. So we're going to skip our normal section of what we've been up to this week. We did that in the episode of Outer Rim, episode 38. Lou, is that correct?
Yes, 38.
All right. So, Lou, we have a lot of stuff to get through here.
Yeah, and I feel woefully unprepared, but...
Well, that's okay, because by next week, you're going to be better prepared, because following our spring movie preview, we are going to be doing a movie draft.
Yes, I am looking forward to this.
Yeah, I don't know exactly when we're going to be recording it. We will do it live, but then we'll also be releasing this probably as episode 103. We are going to get together with some of the other hosts from the Random Chatter Podcast Network and maybe some other friends of ours throughout the community. And it's basically going to be, think fantasy football, but for films. We're each going to have... 100 fictional dollars, and we will be going through the films releasing between now and June, and we will be bidding on them. And so each person will walk away with a handful of films based on how they bid. And at the end of the season, whoever had the highest box office total overall is going to win. Cool. So... it's not just going to be whoever gets Batman versus Superman is going to win hands down, because they might have to spend almost all of their $100 bidding on that film, and someone else might walk away with seven or eight other smaller films that surprise us at the box office and end up pulling in way more in total than that one big expensive.
I'm looking for the Deadpool of our movie draft here, so I can kind of...
yeah,
sneak in there and get a lot of...
yeah, we missed Deadpool, we missed Zootopia, we missed The Force Awakens. Yeah,
but it'll be fun. It'll be a lot of fun. Yeah, can't wait. I'm looking forward to it.
There are some big films coming out in this season here. This is going to cover through basically the end of June. So without further ado, let's jump right into it. The first one we've got here, again, this isn't the draft itself, but this is the preview where we're going to talk about what we're looking forward to the most, and hopefully...
wait,
people...
so I should downplay my picks here so that
you
people
should
don't think, oh, he really wants to take...
totally
it,
not know? Interested in Batman versus Superman Dawn of Justice. It's going to be horrible.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be very good.
No, you know, it's not going to bring in a penny at the box office.
And no marketing for it. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, the trailers for this look good. I didn't mind Zack Snyder's take on Man of Steel. And
right.
I'm getting more and more impressed with Ben Affleck as Batman. I'm a little worried that bringing the two of them and then Wonder Woman together at some point in the film, and then also apparently we may get previews of some of the other characters for the Justice League at the end. I'm worried that that might end up being a little forced. I don't know.
I have a feeling this movie's going to be jam-packed full of stuff, and you're not going to get a lot of detail, but you're going to get a lot.
Yeah.
You know, if that makes sense.
I think that this is probably going to be one of the biggest films of the year.
Well, I think so. As far as box office draw, sure.
Yeah.
And I think this, you know, this is basically the setup for the DC version of, you know, the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Right. Right. And I'm hoping they handle it a little bit differently than Marvel. I mean, if it is the DC version of what Marvel's doing, that's not a bad thing. Mm-hmm. But then it would be nice if it is handled differently, too. So, you know, it's going to be really interesting to see how this ends up holding up in light of the Marvel stuff. And then, of course, we've got the issue of, are we about to get overexposed on comic book movies, too?
Right.
So
right.
That's always a thing that we need to look at as well. But I think that for 2016 overall, this is solidly going to be one of the top grossing films. It's going to be right up there with Deadpool. It's going to be right up there with Rogue One.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be one of the ones to beat.
Yeah, I think so.
All right. So that releases on March 25th. And I'm going to be honest, some of these we're actually going to be pulling up IMDb as we go through here and reading the descriptions there from IMDb, talking a little bit about, of course, all of the trailers for these are available in YouTube. And I don't know, maybe we'll even post links in the show notes on
I mean, most of these are on YouTube. A lot of them are going to be in Apple trailers if you have an Apple TV or anything like that. You can see a lot of them there. So
next up. Also in March is Get a Job. This is a comedy, rated R. This is starring Bryan Cranston, Alison Brie, Anna Kendrick, Miles Teller, who wasn't he in the Fantastic Four film?
Name rings a bell. I'm not sure off the top of my head, but you had me at Anna Kendrick, so.
Yeah. Anna Kendrick and Miles Teller, I think, are the two leads in this. Life after college graduation is not exactly going as planned for Will and Jillian, who find themselves lost in a sea of increasingly strange jobs. But with help from their family, friends, and coworkers, they soon discover that the most important and hilarious adventures are the ones we don't see coming.
Interesting. Okay. This could be fun.
It's got all the right people. Like it's got
and
a
just
good...
for your own. You're absolutely right. Miles Teller was in Fantastic Four. He's also in the Allegiant Divergent series.
Oh, that's right. That's
so
right.
Yeah, he's had a big role there. I knew I recognized his face somewhere. So
yeah, director Dylan Kidd doesn't ring a bell to me, but yeah, looking at his other stuff here, it looks like he's relatively new. This is going to be the first film for him that really could be a breakout role for him as a director.
Yeah, which, you know, isn't bad. We've seen a lot of good first films from directors, so.
Yeah, and the trailer for this looked okay, so.
Yeah.
All right, again, also in March, and this, I believe, wraps up the March films. Of course, we're already part of the way through March anyway, is Identicals. Now, Lou, did you see the trailer for this?
I did not.
Okay, you should.
Okay.
I think that this is going to be your type of film.
Okay.
Now, I don't recognize any of the actors in here. We've got Nora Jane Noon, Nick Blood, Tony Way, Lachlan Nyboer, etc.
Okay.
Nobody I recognize. The writer-director is Simon Pummel. Also, nobody I recognize, but the trailer looked kind of...
Well, Nick Blood was from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. He plays Hunter, Lance Hunter.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So the description on IMDb is kind of simplistic, so... let me see. Oh, okay. So here's the storyline down here. The organization Brand New You identifies networks of identicals, people who walk like you, talk like you, but are walking through different, better lives, and helps their customers make a life upgrade, eliminating the better life donor and relocating their client to that brand new life. Slater seems to have the perfect life, the perfect job, and the perfect girlfriend, but when Slater's girlfriend is abducted by Brand New You and a corpse left in her place, he is forced to become an identical. As he moves through a series of parallel lives, he becomes more and more obsessed with finding his girlfriend, but what he must find in the end is himself. A lot of these descriptions as they're written probably aren't going to sound all that compelling, but the trailer, it seems like a really interesting premise. It's basically you've got a clone walking around somewhere, living the high life, and then you buy an upgrade and they kill your clone and put you there in his place.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah.
It's got a definite sci-fi feel to it. Definitely my kind of movie. So
probably not cool for the clone.
No, but.
So, yeah, it looks really good.
Huh.
I'm sure it's not going to do gangbusters at the box office, but I'm really interested in this one.
Cool. Yeah, I'm definitely interested to see this.
All right.
Although, you know, I clicked on it. I was going to watch the trailer as we were talking here. And, of course, what comes up first is an ad for KY. So I'm like, okay, bizarre.
Oh, wow. The jokes I could make.
Sorry, I had to. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So what's up next?
Is Pandemic. Let's see here. This is starring Rachel Nichols, Missy Pyle, Anybody else in here? No, those seems. It looks like Rachel Nichols is the lead actress in it. Pandemic is set in the near future, where a virus of epic proportions has overtaken the planet. There are more infected than uninfected, and humanity is losing its grip on survival. Its only hope is finding a cure and keeping the infected contained. Lauren, Rachel Nichols, is a doctor who, after the fall of New York, comes to Los Angeles to lead a team to hunt for and rescue uninfected survivors.
Okay, that's so, got me written all over it again, too.
World War Z, you know, though? I mean...
What's that?
It feels like World War Z. Like, it feels like it's already been done.
It does. It feels, you know, familiar, obviously, but... I mean, I like these kind of movies. I like the whole, you know, mass plague, end of the world type stuff. Seeing people take back the world that we used to know, I guess. I like that kind of thing. It has potential.
Yeah.
Whether or not this is any good, I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm going to reserve judgment on this one. I'm a little skeptical.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if any of these movies, well, we should probably look at the Rotten Tomatoes ranking on them, too.
I'll let you handle that one.
Okay.
All right. Well.
Yeah. We'll move right along. I'll look at these as we do them, so.
The next one is, I'm not even sure I want to read the whole synopsis for this one, because it's almost less about that and more about the way this film is done. This is Hardcore Henry, and no, it is not an adult film. Well, it is in the sense that it's rated R, but it's not. It's you got to watch the trailer. There are two trailers for this film. Even if you don't see the movie, you have to go watch the trailers because it's impressive. It is a movie where the entire film is done from a first-person point of view. So it's like you are in the film.
Right.
The brief version of the synopsis here on IMDb says a first-person action film from the eyes of Henry, who's resurrected from death with no memory. He must discover his identity and save his wife from a warlord with a plan to bioengineer soldiers. The trailer for this looks like a blast.
I agree. It's definitely the fun of a first-person shooter, but in a movie.
Yeah.
This will be the first movie I star in, actually. So
yeah, there you go.
And you star in it, and everybody else who's watching it stars in it. So
yeah. I don't know how much you'll actually bring in from the box office take, but...
Yeah, I don't think I've seen the contract yet. I may not get anything out of that.
Yeah, well, you see, you should have looked more closely at the contract before.
I know.
You were in the film, yeah.
So this movie does have a tomato meter score of 89.
Really?
Yep.
That's much higher than
nine reviews.
Thought.
So you know.
Okay, nine reviews is not a lot.
No.
But still, that means eight out of nine liked it.
Yeah.
Well, that's promising. Okay.
One of these movies that I don't know how well it'll do in the box office, but...
Probably not very.
No, but it'll be fun.
It's definitely going to be fun, I think. All right, next up, The Boss, starring Melissa McCarthy. It's an R-rated comedy. A titan of industry is sent to prison after she's caught for insider trading. When she emerges, ready to rebrand herself as America's latest sweetheart... Not everyone she screwed over is so quick to forgive and forget. Now, if I recall correctly, this is the one where she ends up leading a Girl Scout troop in selling Girl Scout cookies or something like
Interesting.
That.
Interesting.
Yeah. The trailer looks like it's pretty good. With Melissa McCarthy, for me, it's kind of hit or miss.
Yep. Well, I mean, she's good, but a lot of her movies of the good parts are in the trailer. So,
yeah.
You know, I don't know what to think about that. But, I mean, it does have Kristen Bell starring alongside her.
Nice.
Which I like. You know, I like Kristen Bell, so it's good.
So that's
There is no tomato meter rating on this one yet, so can't say anything about that.
I predict it'll do well because it's a Melissa McCarthy comedy, and it looks like it's a little less toilet humor than some of the other... toilet humor is maybe not the right It looks like it's a little smarter a comedy than some of the other things that she's been in. So I'm predicting it will probably do well.
Okay.
Next up, we have Demolition. This is R-rated. It's listed as both a comedy and a drama. This is coming out April 8th, and it's starring Jake Gyllenhaal, Naomi Watts, Chris Cooper.
Good cast.
Anybody else in here that I recognize? No, but those are the three leads. Good cast. A successful investment banker struggles after losing his wife in a tragic car crash. That doesn't exactly scream comedy.
I was going to say, I don't think that says comedy to me.
But I don't know. I know very little about this one. I've not yet gotten an opportunity to see the trailer for it.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen the trailer for this one as well either. I like Jake Gyllenhaal. He's usually pretty good in roles he has. He's usually, while he doesn't pick a lot of box office smashes, he's usually pretty good about what he picks as far as his roles.
Yeah.
So it does have a tomato meter rating of 22 reviews. It's got a 50% rating. So,
well,
not knocking it out of the park there, but
yeah. Well, it's I don't know. If I had to put money on it, which I guess I do fake money anyway in the movie.
You track, will, yeah.
I don't know what I think about this one. I'm a little not impressed so far. So. Next up, we have Mr. Right. It's R-rated. It's listed as action, comedy, and romance.
Hmm.
So, also on April 8th, this is starring Anna Kendrick.
Okay,
and
I'm in.
Sam Rockwell. Screenplay by Max Landis. A girl falls for the, quote, perfect guy who happens to have a very fatal flaw. He's a hitman on the run from the crime cartels who employ him.
Okay.
So.
Sounds, I don't know. I mean, first thing that comes to mind, of course, is Gross Point Blank.
Right.
As a comparison, which I liked, but, I don't know if we're doing it again. Do we need this again? I don't know.
This seems. See, Gross Point Blank, I enjoyed it, but I kind of felt like it was a little slow in a lot of parts.
But I thought it was thoughtfully slow, I guess.
No, it was. It was good. I get the impression that this is probably a little more, there's more going on in this one.
Mm-hmm.
That's the impression I get, anyway.
Okay.
So, next up, we have The Jungle Book, April 15th.
Okay, yep. I've seen the trailers for this.
And what do you think about this?
When I first heard it was coming out, I was like, okay, whatever. It doesn't really do much for me.
Mm-hmm.
But the trailer I saw in front of Zootopia made me think differently about it. I thought it was very well done. It looks like, not my kind of movie to begin with, but I think it's going to do really well in the theaters.
Okay.
If that makes sense. I mean, not for what I want to see it for, but for a kid's movie with a story and a, what's the word I'm looking for? It's giving a reason for somebody to watch it to be, an uplifting movie to, not just tell a story, but to tell a theme, type thing going on. I'm looking forward to it doing well, but I probably won't see it in a theater.
Yeah. I probably will because my son will want to go.
Ah, okay.
He loves animals, and of course, this is filled with almost nothing but animals.
The CGI looks amazing.
Yeah, and almost the entire movie is green screen. Apparently, it does truly. The CG looks amazing.
Yeah, it's like the next level of what I've seen out there for CGI.
Yeah,
and unfortunately, no tomato meter rating on this.
That does surprise me a little bit. I'm going to predict it's going to do really well. I predict it's going to make a lot of headlines. It's going to feature very prominently in the box office, and I think it's going to be really successful. How successful, I don't know. I mean, it's not animated. The little kids, it's probably going to be a little bit too intense for. Older kids, is it going to hold their interest? I don't know. It might be a hard sell for some kids, but we'll see. If nothing else, it looks very impressive. Next up, Criminal. This is coming out April 15th. I don't know the rating. I'm going to assume it's rated R. And this is starring Ryan Reynolds, Gal Gadot, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Playing Wonder Woman.
Yep.
Not in this film, but...
I was going to say, she played Wonder Woman in Criminal? Wow.
Yeah. Well, you know, they're trying to expand the franchise. Alice Eve from the last Star Trek movie.
Oh, okay. Yep.
So this will be...
Gary Oldman, Kevin Costner also in this, Tommy Lee Jones.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got some big names.
Yeah.
Probably in smaller roles, but...
The memories and skills of a deceased CIA agent are implanted into an unpredictable and dangerous convict. Whom I assume is going to be Ryan Reynolds.
Probably. Yeah. What could possibly go wrong with that? That sounds like a perfect, perfectly sane thing to do.
This sounds interesting to me. I haven't seen the trailer for this yet, but I like the premise.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know. What else here? Green Room. After witnessing a murder, a punk rock band is forced into a vicious fight for survival against a group of maniacal skinheads. Not the kind of movie you would think Patrick Stewart would be in.
Really? Wow. Okay.
Patrick Stewart, Anton Yelchin, Imogen Poots.
I haven't seen anything about this.
Yeah.
But this sounds very bizarre for that cast.
It does.
Huh.
Yeah, I don't know what to think of this one. So moving on in the meantime, let's see. We've got Paradox. I think I saw the trailer for this one. Let me pull it up on IMDb here. Ah, yes, I did. Okay. This has Zoe Bell, Malik Yoba, who people probably don't recognize the name, but they'll recognize him when they see him. A bunch of other people you probably don't know. There's no storyline synopsis on IMDb, but if I remember the trailer correctly, they are part of a team. This appears to be set in the future. They're part of a team building a time machine, and they succeed, and the idea is that the time machine is just as a test. They are sending, when they activate it, they will be sending themselves back in time 1 hour. Or they send someone forward in time an hour and then back, something like that. So anyway, they turn the machine on. One of them shows up from an hour in the future saying that like everybody's dead and one of the team members has murdered everybody else on the team.
That's a little creepy.
Yeah. So
then
it kind of turns into this this murder mystery sort of thing. It looks pretty interesting.
Huh.
And,
yeah.
And it looks like they, again, I mean, I'm basing this on a trailer, which probably isn't smart, but it gives the appearance that they probably keep a pretty solid intensity level going through the whole film. So,
Now I'll give it this on the IMDb listing of who's starring where. They do have actually Hayes that says hot girl number two, which means it's going to be hot girl number one. So, you know, hey, there's two hot girls in the movie. I'll go see this.
Well, yeah. Not one, but two.
Hot girl one and hot girl two. If there's no hot girl one, I'd be very upset. Because if they have a hot girl number two and didn't give a hot girl number one casting, I have a problem with that.
Well, and here's the other thing. If the hot girl is like so not really that hot that she's the only hot girl in the movie, but they give her number two instead of number one. It's like, listen, I know you're the only hot girl in this film, but you're not quite at level one status. We kind of have to just call you number two. Because you're not quite there yet.
That's rough. That is really rough. Yeah. If it was, you know, I'd have to have a talk with my agent if I was her.
Yeah. Definitely.
Sorry to sidetrack you there.
That's okay, because I don't mind being sidetracked from this next one. The Huntsman, Winter's War. This is a sequel to the Snow White and the Huntsman from a few years back. Coming April 22nd, as two evil sisters prepare to conquer the land, two renegades, Eric the Huntsman, who previously aided Snow White in defeating Ravenna. Who the heck is Ravenna? Anyway, and his forbidden lover, Sarah, set out to stop them. Yay.
Now, how well did the first one do?
At
the box office. I mean, I saw it. I wasn't that impressed with it. Do you remember how well that one did?
I don't.
I'm just wondering if that did really well, this could do really well, too. I mean, as far as, you know, our movie draft goes.
I think it did okay. That's a really good question. You can look it up on...
Yeah, Box Office Mojo or
Box
something.
Box Office Mojo, sure.
I got to find out if there's a projection site so I can... I'll keep that to myself until we do our draft. So
there
I know
is. What was that? There's like a Box Office Exchange.
Oh, okay.
It's like you buy and sell and trade movie stocks, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That would be a good place to go. Charlize Theron, Emily Blunt, Jessica Chastain, Chris Hemsworth as the Huntsman.
It's got some big names.
Blah,
yeah,
blah, blah.
Yeah. Probably got a big budget attached to this as well.
Yeah, probably. Because that always automatically makes something really good.
I didn't say it did. I'm just...
I know. Not blaming you for that one.
Getting out.
Elvis and Nixon. Another one I don't care about.
Yeah, what's the deal here? Is this... See, IMDb says the untold true story behind the meeting between the king of rock and roll and President Nixon. This is going to be riveting.
Yeah.
Resulting in this revealing yet humorous moment immortalized in the most requested photograph in the National Archives. Kevin Spacey and Michael Shannon.
See, Nixon was before my time, and I've never cared for Elvis. So other than getting to see Kevin Spacey as Nixon, which I'm sure is impressive, I just so could not care less about this movie. And yet I'm sure it'll do well. It's listed as a comedy.
Yeah.
But
I mean, yeah, definitely before my time as well, too. Truthfully, I didn't even know that Nixon and Elvis met. But is there enough there to make a movie out of? I don't think this will be on my movie draft, unless I can get it for a buck.
Yeah, yeah, this would be a good, like...
this might be the sleeper hit of the year. Who knows?
It could, or it could just be a sleeper.
It has Johnny Knoxville.
I'm guessing this is not necessarily a Johnny Knoxville movie, though.
Oh, boy. Yeah, probably not.
Just saying.
Probably not.
All right, next up is The Meddler with J.K. Simmons, Rose Byrne, Susan Sarandon. Looks like a stereotypical chick flick. Again, sorry to promulgate that stereotype, but that's what it appears to be on the surface anyway. An aging widow from New York City follows her daughter to Los Angeles in hopes of starting a new life after her husband passes away. The writer and director are the same person, Laureen Scafaria.
Glad you had that, not me.
Yeah, good. Dramatic comedy. I'm sure it'll probably do well. I've not seen the trailer. The two people I've spoken to who have said it looked like it was probably okay.
Okay.
So. Next up, Precious Cargo, April 22nd. This is rated R. It's an action film starring Bruce Willis, Claire Forlani.
Ooh, I like her.
Nobody else I recognize off the top of my head here. John Brotherton.
And I like Claire from a movie that you absolutely despise. So.
Which one's that?
Meet Joe Black.
No. I'm always okay watching Brad Pitt get hit by a bus. No, Meet Joe Black was not a bad movie. I think it was way too long. But
I like the way it just kind of moved slowly and progressed, but sorry, this isn't a podcast about old movies, so sorry.
Old slow movies.
So it's got Bruce Willis in it. It could be a good action movie, but,
A crime boss tries to make off with loot that belongs to another thief.
It's not going to be somebody that's going to do, you know, gangbusters at the box office.
I don't know. If they market it right, and if the action scenes look compelling, then maybe. I'm skeptical too, though.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't see this kind of movie in this day and age where movies come and go from the theater so fast. Even if it gets good word of mouth, I don't see it getting that much traction. I mean, you know, I mean, I don't know. It's just, I find this movie being hard to.
It's up against
word of mouth out there to be successful.
It's up against The Meddler, which we just. Whether appropriately or not, labeled the chick flick. It's up against Elvis and Nixon, and it's up against The Huntsman.
Okay.
And even in the week before that, The Jungle Book will be the big release.
Right.
So it doesn't have a lot of competition.
Oh, you know, just by saying that, you actually pointed me onto a thing I hadn't thought about of what movies are going up against what other movies that same weekend.
Yeah, I should have kept my mouth shut.
Yeah, you should have kept my mouth shut.
Yeah.
Some of my strategies now. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, Eric.
Put my foot in that one. All right. So, next up we have Nina, based on the life of jazz musician Nina Simone.
Oh, okay.
And this is starring Zoe Saldana. David Oyelowo, Mike Epps, and various others. There was some controversy about Zoe playing Nina. I don't know anything about what's going on with that. I don't know what the problem is.
Interesting, but, yeah.
Anyway, kind of a biopic, not really my thing, but... if it's written well, I could see this being a sleeper hit for people who are into dramas and biopics. I think it could do really well. I don't know. And again, it doesn't have a whole lot of competition. So one of its competitors, Ratchet and Clank. Does that sound familiar to you at all, Lou?
Vaguely.
Okay. Based on an old video game. It's an animated film. Ratchet and Clank tell the story of two unlikely heroes as they struggle to stop a vile alien named Chairman Drek from destroying every planet in the Solana galaxy.
Oh, yeah, okay. This is bringing back some memories for me, yep.
Yeah, so,
Yeah, I think it's far enough removed from its video game ancestry that it doesn't have a lot of... kids dying to see it, you know, but
yeah,
I don't know how well it'll do in the theaters.
Got some good voice actors, but that doesn't necessarily mean much when it comes to this sort of thing. Right. James Arnold Taylor, in one of the lead roles as Ratchet, which is always awesome to see him.
It's awesome. Yeah.
As much work as he can, cause he's an awesome professional and he's an awesome guy. So that's really good. Sylvester Stallone, Paul Giamatti, John Goodman, Rosario Dawson. So it's got some big names in it. I don't know. I think you're right. It's far enough removed that it might do okay. Yeah, we'll see. Next one. This is one of the movies I'm most interested in seeing this year. I don't know how well it's going to perform.
Yeah, I had the same thoughts exactly. I saw the trailer for this a couple weeks ago. I saw some of the marketing campaigns of a cat. I said, like, okay, my wife's got to see this. We both love cats. It looks kind of funny. And then I realized it was Key and Peele. And I'm like, oh, this could be really good. So I'm looking forward to this as a good comedy. I haven't seen it's rare to see good comedies in the theater and really have a good time with them because you just don't get enough good comedies these days.
Right.
And I'm looking forward to this.
I think this looks absolutely hilarious. I think this looks incredible. This is Keanu. And as you said, it's by Key and Peele. And all I can say, I don't even want to describe it. This is one of those where you should go out and you should search for the trailer and watch it. If you're okay with Red Band trailers, the Red Band trailer is much funnier.
Right.
I recommend you watch that instead. It's basically the same trailer scene for scene. It's just, it's not edited out, and the jokes land much better. So, yeah, I'm going to leave it at that. I don't know how well it's going to perform is the thing. I have high hopes for it, but I don't know. It's a little iffy.
Yeah, but, you know, you're right. You can't describe this movie. You've got to just see the trailer. And I think they're doing some of the right things marketing-wise for it. I'm starting to see more and more stuff out there. I like some of the new movie posters they've done, which are Keanu's face in different movie posters from movies. Like, they've got one for...
Oh, really?
They've got one for... What was the movie with Matt Damon starting on Mars?
The Martian?
The Martian, there you go. It got one with the cat in the hell. I was trying to play.
You know, I
got to
give you some trouble for forgetting that one.
I know. But, it looks funny. I'm really looking forward to this. I don't think it's going to do really well in a theater. So, you know, nobody else in our movie draft should try to buy this one because it's going to be a real dud.
But, yeah, nice try. Nice try.
I thought I'd get away with that.
No, there are some that we will buy just for sentimental reasons.
There's no sentimental reasons in movie draft. Come on.
Yeah. Well, fortunately, there's a couple items down the list that I think people will be saving up for. So, but before we get to that one, also opening the same weekend, which is going to be April 29th, is Term Life, which is I think this looks pretty good. Is it directed by Jon Favreau? No, he's just in it. Okay, so it's directed by Peter Billingsley.
It's a movie about insurance actuaries, right?
Pretty close.
Okay.
Yeah, it's starring Vince Vaughn and Haley Steinfeld, not Stanfield. I mess that up every time. It's embarrassing because I really like her as an actress, too. Haley Steinfeld. Who was, I believe, was most recently in Barely Lethal. Kyle Newman's most recent film,
which was
a lot of fun. Yep. I really enjoyed that movie. Again, not going to win any awards, doesn't need to. It was just a lot of fun.
Mm. Yeah, also in Pitch Perfect, Ender's Game.
She played Petra, right? Yes. Or did she play, was it?
Nope, she played Petra.
Okay. Anyway, so Vince Vaughn is in this, and I think this is going to be one of the first films I've seen Vince Vaughn in that's not a comedy. It's R-rated. It's listed as crime/drama, but it almost looks like more like an action movie. A guy wanted around town by various hitmen hopes to stay alive long enough for his life insurance policy to kick in and pay out for his estranged daughter.
Hmm. Okay.
So... watch the trailer. Basically, he goes and finds his daughter who doesn't really want anything to do with him. And he's got to protect her and himself long enough to stay alive for the insurance policy to kick in to help take care of her. I think it looks good.
Interesting. Yeah. The action looks pretty good. But it's one of these things where action movie, I have so little faith in movies these days that aren't big name movies and how well they're going to do in the box office. I look at these numbers week after week and they're all, it made $4 or $5 million this week. It's like, how does a movie survive on that?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm always skeptical, but hopefully word of mouth gets out there. Hopefully word on Twitter and so forth gets out there quickly and something like this does well.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, a movie like this doesn't have to have a big budget either. That's the other thing.
That's true.
And there's not going to be a lot of CG, stuff like that. Now, it does have, I mentioned already, Vince Vaughn, Haley Steinfeld. It's also got Jonathan Banks, Jon Favreau, Bill Paxton, Terrence Howard, Mike Epps. So there are also some other big names in it. I've got high hopes for this one. I think this one looks pretty interesting. I don't know. I got my fingers crossed.
Okay.
Next up. I believe this is a little bit later, though. Yeah, I think I might have the wrong date on the list for this. I've got May 10th. IMDb is saying May 20th. This is Neighbors 2, Sorority Rising.
But didn't you skip over one on our listing here?
Did I? I
a
did.
A small movie. Just, you know,
not just a little one.
I'm not sure why you.
You're trying
to get yourself, aren't you? You're trying to put one over on us.
Captain America Civil War. What more is there to say about this one? We talked a little bit about it on this episode of The Outer Rim. The new trailer came out today as we're recording this, Thursday, March 10th.
Right.
Obviously, this is going to be one of the ones to beat this year. This is going to be a big film.
Yeah, I think so. This will probably cost a lot to get in our movie draft.
Yeah. And, I mean, rightfully so. It looks like it's really good. It's almost like Avengers 2.5. It's got pretty much all of the Avengers in it. And there are two sides of a war going on between the Avengers. And both sides, you could argue, are right. Or are at least not wrong. So it's... So far, the critics are saying that this is one of the best of all of the Marvel Cinematic Universe films. So,
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, this is going to be the one to beat, and maybe Neighbors 2 moved as a result. I don't know. That's a good question. Anyway, Captain America: Civil War, obviously one of the biggest films of 2016, coming up. Neighbors 2, Sorority Rising. This is the sequel to Neighbors, obviously, the one with Seth Rogen and Rose Byrne. Also had Zac Efron, Dave Franco. All of them are coming back again for this one. This one also is going to star Chloe Moretz.
Yeah, Hit Girl, yep.
Who else? Selena Gomez, a few others. It looks like... To some extent, it looks like more of the same, but in another extent, it looks like it's going to be different enough that it'll be a fresh take on things.
Yeah, well, you know, I think it's a kind of movie, too, that even if it's not a totally fresh take on the movie, it's more of the same, and it will do well, because it was a good movie the first time around. Funny, you know, I mean, there's definitely some good aspects to it, if you're into that kind of comedy. I mean, you know, I'm kind of thinking, like, if you go back to... You know, in the 80s and 90s, you had comedies that were just, you know, sequel 2, 3, and 4 that were basically the same movie with maybe a different setting or a little bit different cast, but, you know, still the same kind of gags over and over again.
Yeah. I think this one's going to do really well.
Yeah. Box office wise, I think it's a winner.
Yeah. The only possible competition for it, really, the only thing that's really going to, I don't know. It's right smack dab between Captain America and X-Men Apocalypse.
Right, yeah.
That's going to be the tough part.
The week after, Angry Birds comes out the same week this does, so
well,
I don't think it's the same audience.
Yeah, but that's
although
at least
Angry Birds
has
got some stuff for adults, too, I think, which will be good, but not the same kind of comedy.
Yeah. The next one I had on the list, I think I need to take off the list because while I had 2016, it looks like IMDb is saying that High Rise is actually 2018 now.
Oh, yeah. That's what it shows up as. That's interesting.
Well, we have enough on the list. I'm just going to take that one off then.
Guess I don't want to buy that one on Movie Draft.
Yeah, no kidding.
That would have sucked.
I should have left it on. I should have left it on. Okay. Snowden. I have no idea what this might be about.
Yeah, it's about guys trapped in a cabin in the woods up in Vermont.
Oh, and they get snowed in.
Yeah, that's the one.
I get it. All right. So I'm interested in this in the sense that it's got Joseph Gordon-Levitt in it and Zachary Quinto. And then I saw that it has Nicolas Cage in it, and now I don't want to see it at all.
But it's directed by Oliver Stone. So, you know, people either love him or hate him.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting. Unlike some of the other movies he's done, I don't really know as much about the whole Snowden controversy thing as I probably should. Some of his other things have been, you know, aged enough that I've known more about them.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think one of the problems is going to be going forward, not that this has anything to do with the box office draw, but people will take this as gospel because of what really happened, and it's really just a movie about it. So,
well, that's always the case.
It's not a documentary, but Oliver Stone has that tendency to do that. People take it and watch it and say, "Oh, okay, now I know the story."
Right. Yeah. As far as box office performance, I don't know. I don't think it's going to do well. I think it's up against too many tent poles. And I think it'll do well on streaming.
Well, now,
but
wait, Snowden has a date now of September 16th, 2016, according to IMDb.
I hate when we get all of these different.
Maybe it moved. Yeah, I don't know.
Pieces of information. And, you know, these dates I got from reliable sources, too.
Wait.
Some guy on the street told me.
I was going to say the internet.
Yeah, the internet.
So we'll have to verify that again.
So we'll
could do well in the theater.
We'll put that one on hold. Angry Birds, is that still coming out then?
I saw a trailer for that before Zootopia.
See, that's the other hard part about this, too, is the further down the road you get, the less reliable some of the release dates are. But Angry Birds is still listed for 2016. It looks like it's still listed for May 20th.
May 20th, yep.
I am totally not interested.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, see, I thought this looked really, really good. When I first heard they're making a movie out of this, I was like, oh, boy. How are you making a movie out of Angry Birds? But did you get to see the trailer before Zootopia?
No, not before Zootopia, but I've seen it before something.
Well, I've seen the Peanuts movie too. The one I saw before Zootopia was longer, much longer.
Okay.
And I thought it was a really, really well done trailer. Maybe they've given away all the funny parts in the trailer too. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I mean, it did have me almost rolling in the aisles a couple of times. I thought this could be a lot of fun.
Hmm.
So we'll see. I mean, we got some good people in here. We got Kate McKinnon from SNL, Jason Sudeikis, Bill Hader's in there, Maya Rudolph.
Yeah.
So a lot of SNL cast, but looks funny. There was this one hysterical scene in the trailer, and not to belabor this whole thing, but two of the birds are kind of swimming in this pool. They're going to find the eagle, who's, you know, that's the big bad ultimate weapon in the game. You know, use the eagle to just destroy the pigs. But they find this pool and they're swimming in one of the birds. They're going, come on, get out of there. No, don't. You know, that's his lake. You can't swim in the lake. It's like, you know, God swims here, you know. And then the eagle comes out and there's this long sequence where he's taking a leak into the pond. And the two other birds are kind of going, oh, God. Oh. It just made me laugh really funny.
Okay.
I have total humor, but I know it's funny. I'm 12. What do you want?
Well, yeah. Good. All right. Let's see. What else do we have? The Nice Guys.
I don't know anything about this.
I don't know a lot about it either. It's directed by Shane Black, who I think we mentioned in The Outer Rim. Isn't he the guy that's doing the upcoming Predators movie?
Could be.
He's the one that Arnold Schwarzenegger was seen talking to. This one has Ryan Gosling and Russell Crowe. Kim Basinger, Keith David. A private eye investigates the apparent suicide of a fading porn star in 1970s Los Angeles and uncovers a conspiracy.
So it's a fictitious period piece. Okay.
Yep. Moving on.
Okay. Next up is another tentpole for this year. Yeah. X-Men Apocalypse. This looks pretty awesome.
Rather big tentpole. This, I think, really is going to make it or break it for the X-Men franchise. The last one, Days of Future Past, wasn't too bad.
Mm-hmm.
Some people didn't care much for it. I think it was an improvement over X-Men First Class. But I think that with this one, they really have to hit it out of the park if they want to compete with the other superhero films. And I don't know. This one, you know, you got Oscar Isaac as Apocalypse, which I think is a great casting. Olivia Munn as Psylocke, I think, is also phenomenal casting.
Mm-hmm.
You're bringing back the others like Jennifer Lawrence, Michael Fassbender.
You know, if you look at this as far as, you know, for our movie draft goes, as far as money goes, you know, X-Men movies of late have done pretty well, number-wise.
Yeah.
I mean, Days of Future Past took in $233 million, almost $234 million. The Last Stand, which was not was that two or three movies ago, $234 million. The highest grossing X-Men movie still is Deadpool.
Yeah.
Which I think is kind of funny. But, you know, this movie will do well. As far as our draft goes, I mean, this would be something you definitely try to take if you can get it, you know, without spending all your cash.
But it is still going to do better or not as good based on the quality of it, too. So if it's if it does knock it out of the park, it'll do even better in the draft.
Yeah. So. I mean, I think, you know, if I had to put a number on this, it's probably going to make at least two, I would think.
Yeah, I'd say that's a pretty good,
you know, $200 million. So,
yeah. Oh, and also Simon Kinberg is writing it along with Brian Singer, who is also directing it, which he did the original X-Men film, which a lot of people still think is one of the better ones. My big concern about it is of the four horsemen of the apocalypse, three of the four of them are good guys. Angel, Storm, and Psylocke.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's going to break the story for some people. I don't know. That's a whole other discussion we'll get into some other time, I think.
Well, it'll break it for comic book fans. People that don't have the background are going to care.
But even the non-comic book fans remember that Angel and Storm were X-Men before. I mean, Storm was a pretty prominent character in the previous films and played by a prominent actress. So, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, next up, we have Alice Through the Looking Glass. And I believe this is this releasing? Ah, it's releasing the same day, May 27th.
Okay.
So, Alice returns to the whimsical world of Wonderland and travels back in time to save the Mad Hatter. So, once again, we've got Anne Hathaway, Johnny Depp, Sacha Baron Cohen, Alan Rickman in what I guess maybe his final role, one of his final roles. Helena Bonham Carter.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah. Man, I just didn't like the first one.
I didn't see the first one. I thought it looked visually impressive, but
visually, yes.
Didn't really hold a lot of appeal for me. This one, again, looks visually impressive as well.
I may actually be more interested in the story for this one. I don't know.
Okay.
But, yeah, I mean, it also looks impressive. I'm just... Now, the first one, regardless of what you thought of it, it did really, really well.
Yeah, Box Office Mojo has that $334 million.
Is that how much it brought in? $334 million?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, that's good. And the only thing I think that'll hurt it this time around, again, is the fact that it's up against X-Men Apocalypse.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be a little tough. Next up, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows.
A lot of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle fans out there.
There are. Not sure why.
I'm not one of them, but yeah.
Yeah. This is coming June 3rd. This one is not being directed by Michael Bay. This one's being directed by Dave Green. Michael Bay's got to be on this somewhere. Is he producing it? What's... Come on. I mean, I've seen the trailer. It's got Michael Bay all over it.
Yeah, maybe it's just somebody who's, you know...
Maybe Dave Green is like a pseudonym. I don't know. Okay, so it's got Megan Fox. It's got Stephen Amell.
That's cool.
Best known as the Green Arrow. So, I don't know. I mean, it doesn't look bad, especially for kids. Like, it doesn't look bad. Like, I'm not that interested in it, but I imagine it'll be really successful. Now You See Me Part 2. Did you see the first one?
I did. And I enjoyed it. I thought it was a well-done movie.
The question is going to be, are they going to be able to pull off the same magic the second time around? And this one's got Daniel Radcliffe in it as one of the lead characters.
Yeah, it doesn't really throw me, but yeah, okay.
So,
the rest of the cast back, or is this a whole new cast?
It looks like...
Yep,
Dave Franco. I was going to say, it looks like everybody except Dave Franco, but no, Dave Franco is also in it.
Okay.
Lizzie Kaplan, Morgan Freeman, Mark Ruffalo, Woody Harrelson. Oh, no. What's-her-face is not in it. What is her name? Isla Fisher? Let me go back to the first one there.
From the first one?
Yeah, Isla Fisher is not appearing on IMDb anyway.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right. Also releasing that same weekend, June 10th, is Warcraft.
That is a big unknown for me.
Yeah.
As far as how well it's going to do. I mean, I'm interested in seeing it. I think a lot of people are kind of curious about it, but how well will it do is the question.
Well, it's got a built-in audience. It looks good. And like you said, it's got that curiosity factor that I think could bring in a lot of people. That being said, let's see, what's around it? Finding Dory is the following weekend. X-Men Apocalypse will have had 2 weekends by then.
Well, I mean, it's not surrounded by anything like itself, so I think it could do well, you know. You know, for its direct competition, you know, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, I guess, the week before. A little bit of competition
for it. Yeah, but I still see that being mainly kids.
Kids and geeks, you know, I mean.
Yeah.
There are enough people our age that are still fans of that franchise when it was out.
But then the geeks that are going to be into the TMNT are also, I mean, there's a lot of crossover in that demographic with Warcraft, too. And they're not going to say, well, I just saw a movie last weekend. I'm not going to go this weekend.
True.
I mean, this is a demographic of active moviegoers.
Right.
I don't know. It's I think you're right.
That was a toss wild card. It could do really well. I hope it does well because I think I'd like to see them succeed with that franchise.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know. That's a real gamble. As far as our movie draft goes, I mean, if I can get it cheap enough, I'd probably take it, but I'm not going to go very high with it.
What else do we have here? Almost at the end of the month, Finding Dory. Of course, the sequel to Finding Nemo.
Yeah, that should probably do really, really well.
It will. I don't care much. I always found Dory's character to be really annoying. Like, it was the least interesting part of Finding Nemo to me.
Yeah, I thought she was annoying, but annoying in a way that made me want to watch it. It wasn't like annoying where, oh, please turn it off.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I can't say anything bad about it. Just... yeah, wasn't my thing. I'm going to skip this one.
Okay.
So, but you're right. It's going to do gangbusters at the box office. So, and it is going to knock Central Intelligence out of the running, I think. Central Intelligence with Dwayne Johnson, Kevin Hart. After he reunites with an old pal through Facebook, a mild-mannered accountant is lured into the world of international espionage. The accountant, of course, being Kevin Hart.
Yeah, this doesn't really do it for me here either.
No, I don't think that's going to do really well at all. And then on the 24th, our last movie on the list, Independence Day, Resurgence. Been a while since the first one. This one is being directed by Roland Emmerich, like the first one was. It's being written by Carter Blanchard and Dean Devlin. Let's see, who do we have in the cast here? Liam Hemsworth, Joey King, Jeff Goldblum is back again, Vivica Fox, Bill Pullman, Cela Ward, Brent Spiner, Judd Hirsch, What do you think?
Part of me wants to say why they bring this back. The answer to that one is more money, you know, yeah. but it was to the point where I was like, okay, well, we're so far gone past that. We're not going to get a sequel, but now we are. I don't know. It'll probably do okay in a theater.
If they market it well, I think it'll do really well at the theater. At least opening weekend. I mean, it may die off quick after that, but I just looking at this summary here. This is written by 20th Century Fox. We always knew they were coming back. Okay, so right off the bat there, it's like, hey, you knew we were making a sequel. I know that's not what they're referring to, but
right.
After Independence Day redefined the event movie genre, the next epic chapter delivers global spectacle on an unimaginable scale. So in other words, hey, we found a way to redo the first one, but bigger.
And bigger is not always better.
Yeah. I'm not sold on it. Maybe it'll be great. Maybe I'll eat my words. But, I don't know.
I mean, the first one, you know, did remarkably well in the theaters. I mean, this came out in 96, so quite some time ago, and ticket prices were much less. And it did $306 million domestic gross.
But the first one was a lot more about us being the underdogs and being caught unaware and all that. This one, we're reverse engineering their technology. We're prepared. Yeah, they come in with a bigger force than we're expecting, but it's basically we're just throwing bullets at each other for 2 hours. It's like,
right.
It's, I don't want to say the stakes aren't as high, but it's like, okay, it's just going to be a bunch of big action shots. And I mean, back then, to be fair, it kind of did redefine the event movie genre in the sense this is one of the first times where we see like city after city being obliterated by aliens on a big scale like that. By now, we've seen this so many times.
Right. I mean, this to me looks like this year's version of Battleship. You know,
that's a good analogy.
You know, gratuitous alien violence. I don't know.
Right.
I don't think I'll see it in a theater. I might see it when it's on, you know, free TV to watch, you know, Netflix maybe, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah. I'm not going to rush out and see this. I hope it doesn't do well in the theaters.
Yeah, I would definitely Netflix it. But beyond that, I don't know. I think I'd probably skip it. It just, I'd rather see something like District 9. I mean, that was like an alien invasion movie that was interesting. It had character development. It wasn't about just, oh, these two ships are shooting each other. And yeah.
Yeah.
Not that that can't be cool, but it's like.
Oh, no. Yeah. I mean, it's just.
It can't be cool like the 30th time in a row.
Yeah. And this is clearly just a play for let's use the name and let's make a new movie and make some money.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Well, that's it. That's it for the spring movie preview. And this is what we are going to be basing our movie draft off of, which will be coming up very, very soon.
Yeah, we'll have to have a show about that. We're going to do our picks live and everything. We're going to do that on a show.
We're going to do them live, but I don't know because we've got to get the schedules with the other people participating. I don't know exactly when we're going to do it. So next week's episode of Random Chatter may not be Thursday night. We'll still be doing Outer Rim. But bear with us while we pick a time for the actual draft itself.
Right. We got to have some rules, too, to give the movies at the end of June enough time to make their box office run, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to have to make a decision on that. We'll probably say after they've been in the theaters for at least 4 weeks or are bringing in less than $5 million. A week or a weekend or something like that. We'll have some kind of a definitive system for the last few, because we do have some big ones there at the end, Warcraft, Finding Dory and Independence Day.
Yeah. We'll have to give it at least enough time to make sure they have their run of wide release.
Right. Oh. So that's it. That's going to wrap up episode 102 of Random Chatter. We would like to hear from everybody else out there though. Let us know what your top three movies out of this list would be. Now, let's not pick Batman versus Superman. Captain America Civil War and X-Men Apocalypse. I mean, those are kind of the three big tent poles that are kind of the obvious ones. I want three different ones.
Yeah, yeah. Give us your pick of movies that are, you know, I think, maybe sleeper hits, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. What are you really looking forward to that you think is going to surprise people? And send us an email. We'll read the best picks on the air, or the most interesting reasoning behind the picks, perhaps. You can send those to randomchatter@randomchatter.com. It's going to be the best way to get in touch with us. We would love it if you would also follow us on Twitter. We've let the Twitter account go stagnant for years and years and years, but now it's actually getting quite a bit of activity. We're retweeting a lot of news articles and other things we're finding on the internet. Now's a good time to start following it. So follow us at Random Chatter on Twitter. You can also find us individually on Twitter. I'm Eric Blythe. That's E-R-I-K-B-L-Y-T-H-E. And Lou?
You can find me on Twitter at Lou Secchi. That's L-O-U-S-E-C-K-I.
All right. You can also follow us at Facebook. Facebook.com/Random Chatter Network. And, of course, you can get the entire Random Chatter Network through iTunes and also through the website, randomchatter.com, where you can find all of the different shows on the network. And we do have a network feed in iTunes that will get you all of the shows. If you don't want to subscribe to them individually, if you want to make sure that you're getting every show as it comes out, you can subscribe to that. Also, we have put in an application on Stitcher. We should have our shows up there very shortly as well, possibly even by the time this airs.
Cool.
So, some good news there, too. Tell your friends about us. Don't forget to listen live. We have live shows on the network every Tuesday and Thursday night, starting at about 9 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. Eastern. And every night before we go live, we'll tweet that out, of course, on the Random Chatter Twitter account. And that's it. So, the music you hear in this podcast is The Perfect Heist by Blue Stolly. This podcast is copyright 2016, randomchatter.com, and as silly as the sentence sounds, all trademarks are owned by their respective owners. Until next time, take care, everybody.
See ya.